Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. So now let's continue where we left off. And last time we were talking about the different levels of Kedusha and the different restrictions. I believe we mentioned that, quoting the Rambam, that the Har HaBayis, it's permitted for someone who's Tomei Mace to enter Har HaBayis, providing, oh, let me get this here, providing that he doesn't carry other forms of Tumah, such as Zav, Zava, Nidos, Yoldos, Balkari, and that all you need primarily, except for Zav. Zav needs, we spoke about it last time, Zav needs a Mayan mikvah. Okay, we're not going to go through that again. Okay, so for a male, the only concern he has today is a Balkari. And for Balkari, you have to go to a mikvah. Then you can go up to Har HaBayis, and we said up to, technically speaking, with the rice of the part of the Azara, which we explained about a little bit last session. Okay, so now we have another enactment, and that's a Din D'Rabbanan. And I think we mentioned that last time, that the Rabbanan made what's called the Chayal. That's an area which was demarcated, some say, by a small fence, others say by a mosaic, different stones that would mark off where you're crossing the Chayal. And so up to the Chayal, it's permitted for someone, for Tomei Mace, that means someone wants a mikvah, to go. And now on this halacha, there's absolutely no one who argues with this halacha. It's clear. It's a Mishnah. It's a Rambam. Rav Moshe has it in one of his tshuvas. Rav Chaim Kanievsky has it on his explanation of the Rambam. It's clear. Up to the Chayal, if you go to the mikvah, and you're not Tomei Mace, you go to the mikveh, even if you are Tomei Mace, you are permitted to go. There's no one that argues on this point. No halacha authority. So, so that brings us to why, what is the reason, why is the many of our gedolim today, why are they prohibiting going up to the Har HaBayis? Why are they putting going up to the Har HaBayis? Okay, so if you ever look at the tshuvas, every now and then it comes up when the discussion gets hot and people say, why can we go up there? So all of a sudden all the papers will have a list of very prominent Tamid Chacham Gedolim that asa going up there. And if you go through the list, you'll see each one says, well, because he asked it, and he asked it, and he asked it, but go back to the top of the list. Why did the first one ask it? How far back you want to go? What is the issa? So that you won't find, you will not find it. You will not find it. It'll just say he asked it because he said that since he said it's asa, so we shouldn't go against him. We shouldn't go against him. And we go, okay, but what's the issa? It's not there. So the explanation is, and I think I mentioned this last time, that there was a point we had no idea where anything was. We did not know the terrain of Har HaBayis. Remember, about 2,000 years, it was in the hands of different governments, which were not friendly to the Jews. Over the years, things get covered up with sand, with stone, so we weren't familiar where things were. So the original people, Gedol and Masud, said, you don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're going. But now we do know. So we don't know precisely. The answer is that precisely we don't know where the Chayal is. But we certainly know where it is not. Like, for example, the Chayal cannot reach the walls of the coastal of Moravi, which they call Teheret's coastal Moravi, because then where's the rest of the Har HaBayis? The Har HaBayis isn't on the mountain anymore. It's the end of the mountain. So there are routes that you could take, very Machmir routes that you're on the Har HaBayis, and for sure it's impossible to have crossed the Chayal. Impossible. Other routes rely on other measurements or other areas where we know for sure the Chayal could not have reached. And basically, on the western side, as well as on the eastern side, if you stay near the wall, it's impossible to have crossed the Chayal. Why? Because if the chayal reaches the wall, then where's the rest of the Harabayis? There's no more mountain left. So again, on the eastern side and on the western side, if you stay near the wall, absolutely impossible to have crossed the chayal. Okay, now, on the northern side, all you do is keep far away. No problem there. If you go on the northern side, plenty of room to walk. So keep far away. You can estimate how much area it is and keep plenty distance. You can keep far away. There is a problem on the southern side. There's a problem on the southern side. And that problem is because there are those who wanted to say that all our understanding of the Har HaBayis is wrong, and the Kodesh Kedoshim is not the Dome of the Rock, but the Kodesh Kedoshim is the Al-Aqsa Mosque. It's a shita that's brought down by actually discussed even amongst some of the Rishonim, and some felt, or they were unsure, that maybe the Al-Aqsa Mosque is the Kodesh Kedoshim. So if that is true, then everything moves over. And then, so if you go on the southern side, which Al-Aqsa Mosque on the southern side, and if you are suspecting that the Al-Aqsa Mosque may be the Kodesh Kedoshim, so all our measurements, so you're walking in an area which you might be crossing the Chayal, depends where in the Al-Aqsa Mosque they want to hold the Kodesh Kedoshim is. So there is that opinion. That's correct. There's that opinion. But that opinion is really an opinion that, as we know more about the Har HaBayis, we know that the Kodesh Kedoshim could not be in the Al-Aqsa Mosque. We know for a few reasons. First of all, that is not built on bedrock. The Al-Aqsa Mosque is built on landfill. And there were times in the history that they extended the Har HaBayis for protective reasons. The Hashmonaim extended the Har HaBayis southward to protect the southern side from attack. If you look at the walls, these walls are mostly for protection. They're there to protect the case against attack. So the Hashmonaim moved the Har HaBayis, or they built a wall further south for protection. It's not bedrock, it's landfill. And then Herod even extended it further south. So these were extensions that were added to the Har HaBayit for the purpose of protection. And like I said, it's not bedrock. If you take the tour of the tunnel, you'll see the bottom of the mountain. It'll take you right down to the bedrock. And they'll show you where Herod's coastal Amoravi joins the bedrock of the mountain. That's not on the southern side. That's not on the southern side. Because the southern side, they filled up with land to build a wall to protect it from attack. And we also know this, that whenever there's an earthquake, remember, Yerushalayim was on a fault. In 1927, I believe it was, in 1927, there was an earthquake in Yerushalayim. It went through Yerushalayim, and the Al-Aqsa Mosque crumbled. Because it couldn't withstand the earthquake, and it crumbled. Whereas Herod's wall is earthquake proof. As far as I know, it probably was the first construction to withstand an earthquake. He was a great builder. Herod was known for one of the things he was known for, his building ability, and he constructed things with unbelievable. Again, if you take the tour, you see some of those stones. They're puzzled how he moved them. They're up to like 60, 70 tons in one piece, how he moved them. The guy was, no doubt about it, a genius when it came to engineering and construction. You take Herod's, the Herodium, the Marat Machpelah, you go to the port in, what do you call it again? His port, you see how he constructed, I forgot what he called it. Anyway, he was a great constructor of an engineer, and so he built, the wall he built was made of limestone, which is soft. It's one of the softest stones, number one. Number two, there's no mortar in between the stones. That's why I have big stones. You don't need mortar to hold them in place. The weight itself holds it in place. And mortar is no good for an earthquake, because when the bricks shake, first thing that comes out is the mortar, and your wall falls down. That's why in areas like California, you cannot build with brick. As far as the major construction, as an edifice, look master, you can do it, but can't be part of the construction of the building. Because if there's an earthquake, what happens is the bricks shake, and the first thing comes out is the mortar. So Herod built no mortar in between the stones, and he fitted them. If you go there, you'll see perfectly. Unbelievable, he got them in perfectly. And since limestone is soft, so if it's an earthquake, it moves, it sort of puts pressure, and it could withstand the pressure. And it withstood. It's over 2,000 years already, and it withstood the pressure of earthquakes. Whereas the Alaska Mosque, number one, caved in 1927, couldn't withstand the earthquake. So that's one reason we know that opinion that the Alaska Mosque is the Kodesh Kodashim cannot be. That's number one. Number two, archaeologists have discovered there were times that the archaeologists had the ability to do some excavation up there. And Alaska Mosque is actually built on a Byzantine church. If you dig down, they can see the floors were Byzantine church. So it's built on a church. And they did not find anything to do with the Harabayit, with the Kodesh Kodashim, although we didn't have anything, we didn't have a chance to dig over that area, but yeah, but that's number two. Number three is actually, if you go on the eastern side, on the outside, there's a seam in the wall, and you can see where the extension was made. There's a seam going right down the whole wall. Also, there's a seam, a clear seam, and you see, that's where the extension was. The extension was in that point. So it's clear that the southern side is an extension, and it was a very difficult opinion of Shita that holds the Alaska Mosque is the Kodesh Kedoshim. I don't think any postkim today would, although there are some, will say, well, maybe the Alaska Mosque. Oh, so I say to you, if you want to be, again, there are different tours you could take. You want to be completely machmir. There's no question that you didn't cross the Chayil, then just take the western tour. Just take that side of Western Tor. You're not even on our bias. If you want to avoid the southern side, so you could do it. You could do west, you could do north, you could do east, and then turn around and come back. But like I said, that's there are many. You're not mechuyev to take every single chumrah. How many people wait Rabbeinu Tam Motzei Shabbos? How many people wait Midrash Rabbeinu Tam Motzei Shabbos? That's the Raisa, right? That's the Raisa, right? That's Skila. If you don't wait Rabbeinu Tam Motzei Shabbos and you write, that's Skila. That's more chomer than violating the Harbias. The Harbias is Karis, but not Skila. But nevertheless, we go what the standard halacha is. And like I said, the standard halacha is understood that the Kodesh Kedoshim is the Kodesh Kedoshim is where the Dome of the Rock is. And that's primarily what most of the poskim, far as I know, today agree. I can't say not everyone. I didn't speak to everyone, but that's really understood. And by the way, in the Mishnah it says that there was a tremendous rock in the Kodesh Kedoshim. That's where the Aron was, on that rock. It says it was built on the Evan Shasia. The Evan Shasia, means like the foundation. In modern Hebrew, when you open up a new neighborhood, you got to bring in, it's called the tashtit. You got to bring in the electric lines, the foundation, the electric lines, the water lines, the sewage lines. So Evan Shasia is, which we are, the Midrashim tell us, is the foundation of the world. That the world was first started from this rock, Evan Shasia, and God from that rock expanded the whole world from that rock. It came from that rock. It's sort of like a different version of the Big Bang Theory. Big Bang Theory starts off with one little matter, probably the size of a pea, and then it blew up, and the whole world came, expanded from that, so called expansion. So we have a little bit different version that came from Evan Shasia. But anyway, we have that Evan Shasia. And number two, when the archaeologists were in there, they found the Evan Shasia, a part carved out. And they believe, according to estimation, if it's perfectly for the Aron to sit right there. The Aron was on the Evan Shasia. And their measurements indicate that was perfect measurements for the Aron. No one else could explain. No one else could explain who would carve out on that humongous rock a rectangle which fits coincidentally to the Aron. So again, it's very clear. Certainly, if you talk to any archaeologists, and it's built on. Remember, the base of Migdash weighed a tremendous height. Tremendous height. The walls were tremendous. It would never be able to withstand on landfill. It had to be built on rock. So it's very. If you don't wear Rabbeinu Tam, I wouldn't worry about the shita of Loxamas. It's a shita that's what is mentioned, and I got, you know, it is mentioned, but factually, it's a very hard shita to keep. Yes, go you first.
Sorry, who even says that? Who even has the Loxamas shita? I don't remember.
Okay, I don't remember if it might be the Kafto Aferach. I'm not 100% sure, but the Kafto Aferach. He was a Rishon that came to Israel. I don't remember. You won't hear them. The ones that we stand is called the Radvaz. I don't know if you heard of him either. The Radvaz, he disagreed and he held it was the Dome of the Rock. But you're going back. Remember when the Kafto Aferach came to Israel, he didn't even see today's Kosom Ravi. It was all covered with sand. He didn't even know it existed. He doesn't mention all Kosom Ravi. It was all covered up with sand. He didn't know it existed. So, but I believe he said that. Maybe I don't remember exactly, but I'm not sure. But there is that shita. There is that shita that held that was the Kodesh Kodashim. Like I said, it's a shita which is very hard to accept as correct. We have to do the information that we have. And listen, I'm going to accept every single shita. You have a right to make a decision. Right to make it. Like I say, you're not everyone waits for Rabbeinu Tam. Right? Not everyone. If you do you carry in the city? You're not. I don't think there's a city in the world, to my knowledge, that fulfills the Rambam shita on carrying on Shabbos. I don't think. I don't. Can't. Maybe there is. I don't know. But I never heard of one.
600,000.
No. Besides that, according to Rambam, you have to construct it differently. With the poles have to be close. That's another. But anyway, there are many shitas. We don't keep every single chumra, but certainly if a person wants to, there's a route you could take. Yes, go ahead.
Also, do you know nowadays, given the different things you were saying, I think you said three different things about why it can't be the Al-Aqsamas?
Again?
You gave three different reasons why it can't be that the Al-Aqsamas is really where Harabai is.
Correct.
Or really where the fail is. Do you know of any counter-arguments given those facts that seem to be...
No, never. I heard of very poor arguments that we don't know, we didn't dig down deep enough, never heard of anything...
No good arguments.
Absolutely never have any good argument to counter a few arguments that I gave. I mean, listen, you go there, next time we go there, I can show you. I show you where the seam of the wall is. It's a clear, you can't miss that seam. It's right there. You can't argue. Right? Okay. Why, and I spoke to, when I first started going up, we went around to speak to, want to hear the other side, went out to speak to other Gedolim, other poskim, which we did. Me and Rosh Moldova went around, and so it always comes secondary reasons. Most of them would say first they said no, you can't go up there because we don't know where the chel is. I mean, that's what I said once. But if you're standing near the inside coast, right, the chel can't be there. It's impossible. You're right, absolutely right. But if you go there, it's going to start a war. It's going to start World War III if you go there. That usually is what I heard from the Gdolim that I spoke to or I got in to speak to. They say, actually, one of them, Shlomo Fisher, he mentioned to me that I'm right, but we should have gone up right in 1967. That's the time we should have taken over. We should have gone up there. Should have looked for the Mizbeach, but we missed that opportunity. Now the Arabs are going to think that we're doing it to get them mad. So now then, right away, it's Pikuach Nefesh. So all the Gedolim that I spoke to say that if you go there, it will start a war. And Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Bilin Beis HaMikdash. That's the argument that I was able to get from the Gedolim that I spoke to. Now, the other Gedolim I couldn't get into. They would not let me get into. It's a very strange phenomena. I say very strange things with the Harabayit. I don't know how it comes out. I try to get into Ryan Kanievsky. He's definitely one of the great Gedolim today. Okay, so I got the one who takes care of it. That's his grandson. So he told me to write him an email, why I want to go up there. So I wrote him an email. He wrote me back, wants to know a little more about my background. I wrote him back. That's it. Never heard from him again. Never. Now, I have a nephew that has a close friend that's a supporter of many of the projects that Ryan Kanievsky is in favor of supporting. I don't know his personal bank account, but it seemed like that. In fact, he got my nephew a close audience of Ryan Kanievsky. It's almost very rare. This was before the Corona breakout, by the way. His son had a bar mitzvah. He got him in to sit down with Ryan Kanievsky, him and his family, and to get a bracha with Ryan Kanievsky and the bar mitzvah boy, and through this friend. And I told him, I have problems. So, no problem. He called up his friend. He said, send me the letter. I can't believe it. Send me the letter. I will see to it. And I know Ryan Kanievsky's grandson. We're buddies. Yankala. He said, him? Yeah, give me him. I'll get the letter in. Okay. I sent him the letter. Now, if I'm not mistaken, my son's not here. I think that's 2 years ago. Still waiting for a respond. No respond. I called my nephew up. Called him. Yeah, I'll get back to him. So that's going on for 2 years. So, and it's strange. To me, it's a very strange thing. Because if you have a question, you see some of the questions that were recorded with Ryan Kanievsky. Listen, everyone has, you have a shot. It's good to ask. But this question cannot get in. Also, on the other Gedolim today is Rav Edelstein. I had a connection that knew the one who takes care of his daily appointments. And the very funny thing about when I spoke on the phone, he was. I said, "What's the topic?" I said, "Har bias." So he thought I said shalom bias. No problem. People come. No, the problem with shalom bias on the verge of divorce. They want to come to Rav Edelstein for advice. So, oh, shalom bias. Yeah, sure. Let me see. Shalom bias. I could probably get you in 2 weeks. I said, no. It's a har bias. Oh, he said har bias. Call me back in a month. Okay, going back a month. No appointments, at least for a year. Now, I don't know. All I could tell you is these are the facts I've experienced. And it seems to be something very strange about people wanting to discuss Gedolim, to discuss the Harabayas. Again, what I say?
Maybe they're following their own concern about World War III. That like they're afraid if like they talk about it, then it's going to cause. Like they even entertain the idea. Maybe they think that that's going to start a war or something.
I don't know. I really don't know. But someone very close with Ryan Kanievsky. I know his father, the Stipler, was a Gadol Bisrael. At the time. He asked it again because he thought he wrote very clearly. No one knows where we're going. The place we don't know. And again, you have to raise, like I think I mentioned last time, that after the Six-Day War, like people thought Mashiach's coming any day. Or just it's here. Well, we thought. So he said, I saw his letter. He said that we don't know what anything is. Was true. The time wrote the letter. We don't know anything was. That's true. And he said we have to wait. Okay. Well, that time letter was written. It made good sense to wait. We don't know. And we're sure that war was such a miracle. Mashiach's here any day. Minei Shemayim. That's why I was brought up. By Shlishin Kam Minei Shemayim. So I waited. But I think 52 years is a long wait. I think it's going to be a long wait. And I think that, and we do know what things are. Things have changed since you wrote that letter. But I understand that Ryan Kanievsky, is a minig of his father. Okay, that's a personal name. But I don't know what his plaque would be regarding everybody else. And again, like I mentioned to you in the past, that there's a terrible Chil Hashem that's going on there. That, like I said, the first time in Jewish history that the Jewish people are enforcing Islamic law on the Harabayas. I don't know if they ever brought that up to Hank and Jeske. I don't know. I certainly would have gone to bring that up, but I didn't have a chance to speak with him. And like I said, the other Gedolim said, yes, that's true, but it will cause a war. Koch never did anything. Okay, so that's the Ashita. But I would just like to add, when Trump, his election was a miracle, that's for sure, but he said, everyone said, if you make Jerusalem the capital of Israel, that's World War III. World War III. And he said, he doesn't care. He said, I mean, the guy's a real tzaddik, unbelievable. He said, Jerusalem belongs to Jewish people. That's it. Those are the facts. Jerusalem belongs to Jewish people. And that's it. He made it the capital. Did we miss a world war? Did anybody miss a world war? I don't think we did. Nothing happened. On the contrary, what happened? Dubai has relations with Israel. Morocco has relations with Israel. They're all joining with Israel. Just the opposite. So this idea of fear of war is just fake news. It's just hallucinations. And again, that's not the way halacha goes. You don't make up fears. But if you ask anybody in this, I don't want to say the Haredi world, but most of the people who are in the yeshiva world who are against it, they all tell you again and again that he says asukas, he says asukas, he says asa, and I have people call me up. And by the way, Ramosha says it's 100% mutta. I made it very clear, right? It says shuva, up to chel, you can go. That's it. And there's no one argues on that point. No one argues on that point. So we got to keep that in mind. Okay. So now, let's move on to the next halacha. And it's a very important halacha. And the Rambam says, it's in the seventh parak of Hilchos Bechira. The Rambam says, mitzvah aseh liira min hamikdash. It's a mitzvah deraisa to show fear for the base of Mikdash. Shenema, because it says, umikdashi tira'u, that you shall show fear for the Mikdash. And actually, the Rambam is quoting a Gemara in Yevamos. We'll just take a quick look at it. And the Gemara Yevamos is on Daf. Let me just take a look at it. It starts with Vav Amar Aleph. And the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, V'es shapsosai tishmoru. It's in the same pasuk. Not v'chomashia, but the same pasuk. V'es shapsosai tishmoru mikdashi tiro. And my mikdash you shall fear. You should watch my shabbosos, and you should fear my mikdash. Yeah. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion. The Gemara says that what? That we know there's a strange thing. By Shabbos says shmira, and by mikdash says fear. So the Gemara says, Nemra Shmira b'Shabbos, Nemra Mor b'Mikdash. Says the word Shmira by Shabbos, says the word Mor by Mikdash. So what does that mean? Ma Shmira Amura b'Shabbos. Just like Shmira, which says you should watch Shabbos, it's lo mishabbos ato misyora. It's not that you're afraid of Shabbos. Ela mimi shehizya ala Shabbos. But it's telling you to have fear for the ones that commanded you to watch Shabbos. So when it says you should watch Shabbos, it's not that the day is fearful, but it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who told you to watch Shabbos. And it's his laws that we show fear for. Af mora amur b'migdash. So it is true with the fear regarding the Migdash. Lo b'mikdash ato misyorei, not afraid of the mikdash, elamisha his ala mikdash, but you're afraid, you're showing respect for the one that commanded you to show fear to the mikdash. Now, just let's read the Rambam on this, because he's pretty much just a little paraphrase, but I just want to get it down very clear. I want it down very clear, because...
That's different than just the general concept of Yerushalayim.
What's that?
I'm assuming this, but like,
isn't it like just the general mitzvah of
Yerusha? Yeah, yeah, one second. Just, well, let me first get the facts out. Don't talk about it. So the Rambam says, quoting this, like I just said, U'mikdashi tiro'u, v'lo min mikdash atoy yireh, you're not afraid of the mikdash, elami she'tziva al yirasho. But when you go to the mikdash, we say you have to, we'll come to halachas, what you have to do when you go up to Harabayat. And all this, like you can't wear shoes. That's yira, to show you in a place of kodesh. So the kodesh isn't the mountain. The kodesh is because God commanded us. That's what it wants to point out. Now remember, yadus is the first and probably the only true religion that clarifies the concept of monotheism to the greatest extent. That means there's nothing physical that we worship. Nothing physical that we worship. We worship Kadosh Baruch Hu, and God is not physical. So the Gemara is saying, well, listen, we have a problem. It looks like we're worshiping a building. Looks like, well, let me first finish. It looks like we're worshiping a building. That's the Gemara's problem. You're going up the harbor. Oh, you worship God. You're worshiping this wonderful mountain. You're worshiping. That's the furthest thing from Yadus. We're not worshiping any mountain, not worshiping any stones. That's what the Gemara says. So who are we showing fear when we go up to the mountain? Not the building, not the ground. It's the fear that the one who gave us the mitzvah to build this harabayas. So the fear we show and the respect we show is only because God commanded us to build this base hamigdash. To build this base hamigdash. Now remember, again, along with that in line, take for example, every shul. Right? What does the shul have in the shul? Okay, we have a building, this and that. But up front, we have an Aron Kodesh. And what's Aron Kodesh? Sefer Torah. So that's, and it's not, it was the mitzvos that was given to us by God. That's what we worship. We always have to connect to God. This base of Medrash, base Knesset, has Kedusha because, why? Because this is a place designated for Tefillah by the laws of God. So it's always, we always show a connection to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is not physical, totally incorporeal. And again, what was in the Kodesh Kedoshim? Anybody know? Okay. Well, first was the Aron, and the Aron was the Luchos and the Shiver Luchos. As Machlokis, if there was a Sefer Torah in the Aron or next to the Aron. That's us. So that's what the Gemara is saying. That's what the Rambam is pointing out. Do not think that we're worshiping a building. That's contrary to our belief in God. God is incorporeal. There's nothing physical in God. Absolutely cannot be. It's one of these sodas, Yesodos, the first perk of the Rambam. Nothing physical. And all those psukkim, the God outstretched hand, and God sees, all that is just figure of speech. Figure of speech. And the Targum Unglis always shows how to be understood in a philosophical way, in a way that's not physical, like God went down to Mitzrayim, God made his presence aware of Mitzrayim. He always shows us the true meaning of what the Pasuk is trying to tell. But again, the Torah has to be written that people have to understand it, even on a very basic level. Like I said, Torah is taught, Breishis and the Chumash are taught from first grade on. So yeah, you know, a child couldn't understand that. So you say, God went down to Mitzrayim. God saw our suffering. God doesn't have eyes. God doesn't have any nerves, nothing. So, but to a child, God saw what happened to Mitzrayim. We understand that. As you get older, you get a better understanding. So again, so the point that the Rambam is making is a crucial point. It's actually the Gemara. That we don't fear stones. We don't fear the physical. It's only why we show respect for our bias, because God commanded us to make this our bias. So it's an expression of our fear for God. It's an expression that we want to show fear for God, and God told us this is the way we could do it. We could do it this way by showing respect for our bias, because I commanded you, I gave you permission to show respect this way. So this is the way that I allow you to show respect for the Shekhinah. Okay, that's the Gemara, and that's the Rambam. But I just want to point out one thing. This Gemara, in my opinion, raises a major question. I'm just surprised that I haven't found anybody brought it up other than me. I don't know, maybe I didn't look hard enough. Major question on a practice that takes place today?
Well,
like I said, what, as far as the Rabbanut, I think I mentioned it before, the holiest site and the list of holy sites of Jerusalem, the holiest site in Jerusalem, according to the list of the Rabbanut, didn't mention Arabias, but is the Kosel Moravi, what they call the Kosel Moravi. That's a major problem. Why is that a problem? Who commanded, who built that wall? Herod. Who commanded Herod to build that wall? Remember, he was a great builder, but he was a very evil person. He wiped out the end of the Hashmonaim. The Hashmonaim are gone. No one from Hashmonaim survived because Herod wiped them out. He wiped out one third of the Sanhedrin. So he was a great builder, but a very evil person. God certainly did not tell him, did not give him the war. So who built that stone wall? A man. A guy was a maniac. A guy was paranoid and schizophrenia together. He wiped out half his family. He built it. He built it for two reasons. First of all, to be a protective wall and a retaining wall. He was a great builder. You got to give him credit for that. Now, there's the mountain. You don't want the mountain to crumble. Like I mentioned last time, you have a sand pile. You put a lot of pressure in the sand. It spreads out. So he was afraid that the weight of the mountain would start spreading out. So he built that as a retaining wall. And he did a great job. No question about that. But his wall is no Kedusha. His wall is no Kedusha. And yet, hundreds, thousands of people go to daven by a wall. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't say, how are you daven by a wall? Since when? The Gemara, I just read you, says the Harabayas is Kodesh only for one reason. What's the reason it's Kodesh? For just one reason. Because God commanded us to build that Harabayas. That's the only reason we have a right to show covet for the Harabayas. Because God commanded us. If it wouldn't be for God, of course we can't do it. We don't worship walls. We don't worship stones. We don't worship constructions. We worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melech Machayim Lachem. That's what we worship. Not a wall. And I don't know. So there was a time that people, like I said, there was a time we weren't sure where that wall belonged to, and there was an idea to come close to the Harabayas, which is another idea, which also doesn't hold water with Halacha. There's no thing of coming close to the Harabayas. The guy who sits near on Kodesh has the same Kedusha the guy says in the back. We don't have this measurement how close you are to the Aron Kodesh. It doesn't exist. That's not our way of measuring. I don't care if you're in Tel Aviv or you're standing by the Kosel Moravi. Your tefillah is the same tefillah anyway, any place you are. You could be on the moon. We don't go by how many feet you are. No such thing. Never had such a thing like that. But we do have a distinction. If your tefillah is in the Harabayas or outside, yeah, Harabayas is special Kedusha, which was designated by God for one reason, for tefillah and korbanos. That Hashem said, this is the place. This is the place for tefillah. This is Ki Beisi. Hashem, my house. Base Ki Beisi, base tefillah. My house I made for Beis Yilchol Amin, for everybody, for all nations. You can come be mispal here. That's God's house. But staying outside the God's house, just like staying in Tel Aviv, which is like staying in a lot, or France, I don't care where you're standing. So this whole new idea, whole new concept, that this Kosel Moravi, which again, I told you last time is the wrong name, the Wailing Wall, came Kodesh. And this came Kodesh, and people are going there. To me, it violates this Gemara. We do not worship stones. Well, even though they're tremendous construction, but we don't worship that. We don't worship stone. That's it. That's contrary to Judaism. That's contrary to Judaism. And we don't worship coming close. Either on Harabayas or outside Harabayas. So I don't know how this took off like wildfire. I don't know how you could stop it. And then they have also this other insanity, in my opinion. People put letters in the Kosel Moravi. I mean, come on. Give me a break. Where do we find a method of tefillahs putting a letter, even in the Harabayas? I don't know. Did Dov HaMelech write a letter and put it in there? Tefillahs b'peh, tefillahs b'lev, not writing letters. This is, I mean, I don't know. Can't find that. I'm trying to be polite. I'm trying to be. Now we're in a time that we have to be, politically correct. I'm trying to find a way to say politically correct, but this is, in my opinion, is as close as you can get to kfirah. We don't write letters to our garbage. Where does that come from? And by the way, you ever know what happens to those letters? Well, the guy at nighttime comes and throws them in the garbage. And the thing is, this is what the people in the world think. Whenever a dignitary comes here, they put a letter in the... And people think this is the way the Jews pray. What kind of fake news is that? What kind of fake news is that? That we pray, we put a letter in a wall? What? How did this ever evolve? How did this ever happen? This is the way Jews pray... I think Trump, did he put a letter in there or something? I know Obama did. I don't know how good it did him. I don't know how good it did anybody. But it's a misrepresentation of the beauty of tefillah. What's that?
He put in his business card.
He put it?
Trump put in his business card.
I didn't catch that.
His business card.
Oh, his business card. Ah, what if he got a call? And he probably got a call from the guy who cleans up and said you left a note here, but this is total misrepresentation of the beauty of Yadis, total misrepresentation of the beauty of Yadis. Yadis is against this. Yadis is in the highest level of intellectual thinking. That God is incorporeal. We have a way to relate to God who is incorporeal in an incorporeal fashion. Speech. Speech is close and get to being incorporeal. You can't hand speech around like that. Correct? Ways. Well, okay. That's the only way we can communicate God is tefillah. Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalo. Everyone was mispalo. Who's not mispalo? Where did this letter writing come? Where did it come from? And you cannot stop it. Absolutely cannot stop it. And people think you put a letter in the kosel. I mean, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know. All I could say is, in my humble opinion, it's contrary to one of the basic foundations of Yadus. That's not the way tefillah was ever accomplished, ever done, and never will be done that way. Our tefillah is exactly like the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's sister was sick. He said, Kel no refar no la. He didn't write any letters, didn't put a postmark on it, nothing carved out, just Kel no refar no la. That's tefillah. So things got out of hand, and as I say, as we talk more about the Habayis, we'll see how strange things have evolved around the most holy place that we have, from not even listing it on the list of kedushas by the Rabbanit, by people putting letters in a wall that was built by a guy who wiped out the Chashmonaim, by making his wall holy. And the other side, there's a wall there on the other side, on the eastern side. They're not sure if it was made by the Chashmonaim or by when Ezra came up. That wall no one goes to. We know where parts of Ezra's wall is there. That no one goes to. But Herod's wall came Kodesh Kedoshim. Okay, any questions? Okay, so I'll stop here. I have to push the button now. Let's see, where's that button? Is this it?